It's Monday, August 27th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 794, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our August special for all new and existing customers, save 20% off your order using promo code GO20OFF2. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Had a little bit of a challenge getting started. We'll talk about that tonight, but you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content, and really, it's the place to go to check out all the latest news on tech, and of course, check out all the great podcasts over here. I've rebooted the TriCaster tonight a solid three times. We'll talk about that in a second, but I think in the process, I destroyed the Amazon stream tonight. I think I crashed that server, so we're on Ustream tonight as a backup, but if you're checking out the show for the very first time, whether you're listening or watching, hey, we want to thank you for being here, and definitely get over to the website again and sign up for the show. And really, all you got to do is subscribe. You'll find a subscribe box there in the second column of the website. You'll find a link to the newsletter. The newsletter is basically, I send out an email immediately following the show that has all of the links to all the different articles that I cover during the show tonight. So that'll be in there, and just a great way to stay connected. But staying subscribed or getting subscribed for the first time is the most important part. Do that via iTunes, Zune, or just use our standard RSS feed. I kind of want to encourage you to check out the show. If you don't catch it live, to watch the show either on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, the Vizio Google TV, and a variety of different boxes and services. So definitely check it out. And of course, you can always contact me here at the show. It's real easy to reach out to me via Twitter at Geek News. And of course, you can email the show at geeknews@gmail.com. And our 24-hour hotline is open at 619-342-7365. International callers, don't forget to do +1 619-342-7365. Of course, we stream the show every Monday and Thursday night. Of course, we do Saturday morning tech as well. And then we put the show out immediately following the live recording as a recorded podcast available via audio or video. Of course, I want to mention here that we're members of the Tech Podcast Network. And if you haven't been over there, matter of fact, I haven't shown the site in a while. Let me bring that up here real quick. You know, Tech Podcast is a great place to find family-safe content. And all the shows over at Tech Podcast have been vetted. Every one of the shows is family safe for you to listen to, educational, lots of great shows. I think there's 137 shows on the network now, so plenty of opportunities to find content that interests you in the tech space. And we got a great lineup of shows, and we got some great stuff coming in the near future. The team's been talking about how we're going to work more together to really have the cohesion of the network and give you a lot more live type of activities on the website instead of just going to the website and having a place to be, a place to discover shows. But yeah, tonight, what's been going on is since I upgraded to this new version of TriCaster, the 855, it's had this bug. And really what it is every once in a while when we're live, and it happened on this past Saturday, the video would all of a sudden become choppy. And once that happened, it basically, the recording essentially ruined. So on Saturday Morning Tech, we were about 40 minutes into the show and it started chopping, and we had to stop the stream and basically restart the TriCaster. The guys were on Skype, so it was not not a big issue. But really what ended up happening is the I just made a lot of post-editing for me. And so I went on the New Tech website, and I was really kind of screaming at him in my own way, and put the piece up and showed him what was going on. And lo and behold, today QA emailed me and said, hey, we got a build for you to try. So I'm running a beta build of code, which is dangerous in itself because there could be bugs. They say it's almost ready for release, but one thing it did do, it screwed up my streaming profiles and didn't carry everything over. So I basically hit the stream on Amazon tonight, and what ended up happening was, instead of being 16 by 9, it was 4 by 3, and you could only see like half of me because the screen wasn't showing the HD part. So it was really kind of just one of those things that happens, and needless to say, it delayed the start of the show tonight. And we're, again, up on Ustream doing the live gig tonight. But I got lots to talk about, lots of tech to get into. Of course, we want to thank our longtime sponsors at GoDaddy.com for being here and really taking care of us and making sure we can keep the lights on. And I want to remind you, you can visit GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll find all my promo codes. But we got a great deal, a great offer for you this month. When you get over to GoDaddy.com, if you want to save 20% off your order on everything that you purchase, all you have to do is use the promo code that we've got available this month, GO20OFF2. Again, it's GO20OFF2. Plus, we've got a whole plethora of new codes that we're sharing at Geek News Central. But, you know, this 20% code is pretty awesome because you can buy a variety of different products and services and get a full 20% off domains and everything. Now, you want to play around with the codes because what'll happen is sometimes you get a better discount using one of my other codes. So I've got a 25% off hosting code. I've got a $7.99.com. I've got some actually dollar backs. So if your order is like $75, you can get $20 back on an order $75 or more. So there's a variety of different ways to mix codes up at GoDaddy, and we want you to consider that when you're making a purchase over there. Check all my codes out, and you know, sometimes split it up between two purchases. And what that does is it'll give you the, you know, basically the best discount on a multitude of products that you may want. Great domain names, great hosting accounts. You can't beat them. Of course, Geek News Central infrastructure is all on GoDaddy servers. And of course, we pay for our own boxes. They don't give those to us, but they do sponsor the show. And we want to thank them for being a longtime sponsor here and hope that you'll support us by going over to GoDaddy.com and picking up their great products and services. All right, let me go ahead and talk just a little bit here. I've revamped the Insider program, and this has been a long time coming. You guys know that I've talked about the Insider program, and we're giving away prizes right now as people donate. Of course, you don't have to donate to the show to win. You can send an email to the show to be able to be in the drawing, and we've talked about that already. But what I did is I really looked hard at the Insider program. And, you know, over the past 8 years, you know, I've dedicated every Monday and Thursday night to be right here for you, bringing you what I feel is one of the better tech shows in the spaces right now. And, you know, I feel that at this point, I've proven to be reliable to all you guys. I'm here just like delivering milk, just like the milkman, got to be here to deliver the show. Forgo vacations and different things going on in my life on Mondays and Thursday nights because, you know, I'm dedicated to doing this show for you. And we hope that you consider becoming an insider. And there is an ultimate goal for having this insider program. And I'll talk about those goals in a minute. But I've changed up what is going to happen for everyone that does become an insider. And what I'm going to start is an interactive mailing list. And the mailing list will be just for insiders. If you're an insider, you will be on the mailing list. You can participate and have conversations with me on a daily basis, or you can just hang back and participate when you want to. We're going to add you to a special Google Plus circle. So all the insiders will be in a special circle where I can submit special offers and special deals to insiders, and where we can share information back and forth as well. We're going to give everyone that's an insider a cool graphic to put on their website or on their Facebook page or places where you can show that you're a GNC insider. And also we're going to have a certificate that we're going to provide to the insiders. But the most important thing is the insiders are going to get a vote as part of what I call the insider collective on this show's direction and where we go and how we move forward with the show over the next couple of years. And what I've really got laid out is a 2-year plan, and the 2-year plan to get us to really the next level on where this show is going to go. So there's goals and milestones on the insider page, and all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. You can look at the goals and milestones and what I will do when we hit certain benchmarks for the show. And ultimately, we're going to get to a place where the show will become advertiser free. And actually, before that, insiders are going to get an advertiser free edition of the show that will be made available special to them. And I think that's important as we move forward. But until then, there's different benchmarks that we'll do, different things we'll do when we hit certain levels. But the goal is really to get to the level I want it to be. Is I figure will take at least 2 years at a minimum. So, and what's even better is once we hit a certain benchmark that I've laid out on the insider page, again, which you can visit at geeknewscentral.com/insider, I will produce one additional show per week just for the insiders. So we'll go 2 shows for the regular audience and a 3rd show for the insiders, but only once we hit the mark that I've set on the milestones marker, because basically it's, you know, takes a lot of time and effort to do this. So I want to make sure that, you know, the folks that are behind it and supporting the show monetarily will be able to get the reward of that 3rd show. And really it's going to be easy for you to start. You know, you can come in at $2 a month. You can make a one-time annual donation as well. So if you want to do it in one full swoop, you can do that. So all the information is on the insider page. Definitely check it out. But wanted to revamp this. Had gotten some input from some folks already on this, and this is where we're headed. And also, my wife and I have been talking about some changes potentially here in the next couple of years. I know in the last show I told you that she wanted to potentially buy another house and or sell this one and move to a different location. And so we're working on, you know, some ideas where we may go in the next couple of years. So that's kind of exciting as well. We'll keep you advised on that. And it could mean a bigger move. It could mean a move back to the lower 48. And that's a big move. So we'll be talking about that as time goes on. But really, I'm a 2-year plan here for moving the show forward. And I hope that you guys will be along with you. You know, we're approaching show 800. And, you know, been with you since 2004 doing this. I know many of you have been listeners or viewers since that time. And we want to thank you for being part of the Ohana. You know, the Ohana here is where you guys are part of the family, and it's really one of the most important parts of this show where you guys provide me feedback and input. I get emails all the time that say, don't read on the air. Here's something that I want to talk to you about, and I appreciate that type of stuff. So we'll definitely continue to take those inputs from all the folks that, and again, anyone that's, if you don't want to contribute to the show, that's fine. We're still appreciate any feedback that you give, and we'll cover that at the end of the show like we always do. Hey, I do want to show you guys moving into some cool content tonight. And really, this is some content that's over on that basically Mike Dell, one of our writers. And of course, Mike has his own podcast as well, The Geek of the North. Mike went out for Geek News Central last week to Los Angeles. He flew out there to a Ford event. And hopefully the next Ford event, I'll be available to cover it. But he was able to drive the Ford C-Max Hybrid, and he's got a great video on the drive on this car. Now, the C-Max is not available yet for sale here in the United States. It'll be in a few months. It's going to be in dealers in a few months. But so if you want to, you know, if you're thinking about a new vehicle and you're thinking about a hybrid, this may be an option for you. So definitely check that out. Ford is not a sponsor here, obviously, but they, you know, they're nice enough to fly Mike out. And he was out there with Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine, and they once again toured the vehicle around L.A. drove it up to Malibu and the mountains and so forth. Had a great time with it. So it's a good, nice, short little like 3 or maybe 4 minute video that Mike put together on it. And it gives you all the details. So nothing like getting good insight from our team here at Geek News Central on Ford vehicles. And we again want to thank Ford for having for Mike out for that event. Okay, what else have I got in my stack here? Hey, Saturday Morning Tech went off without a hitch. So we had Annie McCaskey in, and we actually had Mike on as well. Mike Dell was on. And so we had a great Saturday Morning Tech. So definitely check that out. And so we had a lot of good discussion. Even though that I was keeping getting blasted by the sun in the morning, the sun comes right in the window over there, and I was doing everything I can to shuck and jive to stay out of it. It'd become pretty comical after a little while, and this big sunspot on top of my head. But you'll see it if you watch the show. You hear me cuss out New Tech too from the issue that I had with them. Hey, I've got a huge lineup of news tonight. We're gonna be going through a whole bunch of stuff. Let's take care of the last piece of business here before we get into that. And, you know, one of the longtime sponsors here, Citrix GoToMeeting, is a product that is absolutely fantastic. I on the last show, I mentioned that I was going to have a meeting the following morning. And basically what it was the guy wanted to talk to me. And the only time he could talk to me was 7 a.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, and that's the time I'm taking my kids to school. And so once again, I'm in the school parking lot, the kids are dropped off, and I'm breaking out the iPad and joining a GoToMeeting session and having this business meeting. And actually, it was a really important one because he was introducing me to a new tool that we are that we're paying for, and he was taking me through a demo and training me on the tool. So I sit right there in my car, you know, basically in this GoToMeeting session with my iPad doing business. So during summers, it seems like, you know, everyone is on a different schedule. And it's obvious, you know, being in Hawaii, I'm on a different time zone. So vacations, shorter days, and even working remotely is what it's all about. So meeting all your clients and colleagues in person can really be a challenge. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix with HD Faces. That HD Faces is fantastic. You get to see the person you're talking to. You get to have that eye-to-eye contact, even though you're not in the same room. You're just looking at a webcam, and you get to see them. It's really good. So with GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes just a webcam and a click to collaborate in a group HD video. You can even join, again, from an iPad or Android. You can see your attendees eye-to-eye while collaborating in documents in real time. In this case, I was getting trained on a website, and you'll be able to be instantly connected. And one thing I was able to do is like, hey, I see something, stop, let's put this in, let's try that. And he was showing me those different things. So it was just made it easy. It was like we were almost in the same room, even though I was sitting in my car in a parking lot. And, you know, GoToMeeting is easy to use. iPad users, all you really have to do is download the free GoToMeeting app to join. So as a listener of this show, you can get a GoToMeeting free for 30 days. And this is a piece of cake. All you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. So you click on the Try It Free button, a page will load, you put your name, your email address in there, there's a little link for the promo code, which is hidden underneath a little hyperlink. You put the code podcast in there, just type it in, PODCAST, and hit continue. You get that 30-day free trial. So again, GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. We want to thank GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here and taking care of the show and keeping us moving forward in business and everything. So thanks for GoToMeeting. All right, let me go ahead and open up the full stack of stuff to, hey, someone's saying in the morning, good morning to you. In the morning, I know someone must be a No Agenda fan calling out in the morning on the chat room. So that's pretty funny. I tell you, if you haven't listened to Adam Curry's and John C. Dvorak's No Agenda show, it's worth a listen. Some of you may, they get pretty, how should I say it, a lot of conspiracy theories, but a lot of good information as well. It's, you know, you kind of have to remember a little bit of entertainment going on, but at the same time, they do a huge amount of work on that show. It's amazing. It's like 3 hours, so be prepared. If you subscribe to it, it's a long show. You guys, you know, worry about me doing an hour and a half. Yeah, they do a super long show. All right, let me go ahead and bounce over here. First and foremost, of course, we lost an American hero this past weekend. Neil Armstrong, the first person to step on, basically the first person to step on the moon. And, you know, Apollo 11 made history. What an incredible feat. You know, the a lot of times that crew doesn't get as much credit with Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins, who stayed in the orbiter. But, you know, they made a huge, huge achievement for the United States. And, of course, they had a huge team behind him at NASA and all the contractors and everything that was done. And, of course, his words as he stepped off the LEM, that's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. And actually, I think there was a more comical comment made by Aldrin when he came down. When Buzz Aldrin came down. But anyway, long story short, we lost a true hero, a very humble man who never gave very many interviews. He'll definitely go down in the annals of history. And, you know, people are going to be talking about this guy 500 years from now because, you know, there was only one person. Only one first person to step on the moon. And it's pretty fantastic achievement. But long story short here, we've lost an American hero, and I'm sure he would be amazed. And I don't know how his health was to see if the Curiosity rover, what it was doing on Mars, but incredible achievement by that team, the Apollo mission set. All right, let's move on here to some tech stuff. Hey, you got a Mac? You're at risk from a super dangerous Java zero-day exploit. Hackers are exploiting a zero-day vulnerability in Java 7. This unpatched bug can be exploited through any browser running on any operating system. And this is not just Mac users, Windows and Linux to OS X. This is huge. That the exploit, which was published less than 24 hours after the bug was found, is effective against Java 7 installed on OS X Mountain Lion. So exploit works on OS X if you're running the 1.7 JRE, the Java runtime environment. And all you got to do is just land on the wrong page. And this exploit is both in Firefox 14, Safari 6 as well. And they haven't been aimed only at Windows users. This is also for Mac users as well. And this one has a potential to be used by other malware developers in the near future. And what they're worried about is that due to Java's normal release cycle, it may be a few weeks coming before we get a patch. And they're trying to come up with something to patch this very, very quickly. And now be advised, this vulnerability is not in Java 6. It's in the new functionality in Java 7. And with this bug being called super dangerous, it's being a total drive-by, meaning that you can compromise a Mac or other personal computers simply by duping users into browsing to a malicious or previously hacked website that hosts the attack code. So don't go to any websites that you're not trusting completely, because if you don't, they're loading malware on your machine and it's going to be owned. Mac, PC, you name it, they're all susceptible. So be careful here in the next week. They're telling you disable Java. So that's the thing that's right now is basically the big word on the street is the best thing to do right now is to disable Java completely. And that will affect you as you're surfing the net. Certain sites won't work as well, but until they get this figured out, it's probably good advice. All right, let's talk about Samsung and the Friday announcement, and with Apple just cleaning the floor. And I'm sure all of you have already been reading about this. You've already probably saw all the pundit stuff. take you through the full details because, you know, it's really, this is old news, but I do want to cover a couple pieces maybe that you haven't heard. Apple stock opened today at a record high of $680. This is $637 billion market cap after the Samsung win. So they got a boost and they got a big jump on the stock with the $1.049 billion in damages. But what's interesting and what's being reported over the last day or so is that the jury admitted that they finished quickly by ignoring prior art and other key factors. Now, prior art, if the jury ignored prior art, you know, there's a lot of innovation that's been done over the years and a lot of different devices and a lot of different things. So a lot of things are built upon other people's ideas. You know, they'll take something to expand upon it. Well, if the jury completely ignored prior art, you know, this is going to set up some potential appeals. But a Reuters interview with the jury foreman that basically the jury ignored the rules that was the judge laid out to them. They said they didn't read the rules. And they awarded some things. They awarded damages for things they found that didn't infringe. They had to go back and make an adjustment to the initial ruling or the initial penalty. But the jury foreman said, we want to make sure that the message was sent. And it was not just a slap on the wrist. We want to make sure it was sufficiently high to be painful, but not unreasonable. So here's the thing that's a challenge. This is where Samsung's going to have a foothold in a challenge is patent awards only supposed to be about making the patent holder whole, not about punishing the infringer. It's about making up the financial difference. And the jury instructions clearly stated that the amount of those damages must be adequate. And this is what it said in the jury instructions. The amount of those damages must be adequate to compensate the patent holder for the infringement. A damages award should put the patent holder in approximately the financial position it would have been in had the infringement not occurred, but in no event may the damages award be less than a reasonable royalty. You should keep in mind that the damages award are meant to compensate the patent holder and not to punish an infringer. So again, the jury foreman said, we want to make sure it was sufficient. I had to be painful. And then, you know, there's been a lot of commentary about the aha moments that the jury had about how most of the jury figured out that Samsung was guilty of infringement like day one of the trial. So that's pretty impressive that they were already, their minds were pretty much made up after day one. There's lots of commentary on this all over the place. But, you know, the Samsung has a huge, a huge opportunity here to have this a ruling overturned because of some of the things the jury said in post interviews. The thing that's really crazy is the foreman told a court representative that the jurors had reached a decision without needing the instructions. And the instructions were supposed to take like, you know, it was like 75 pages or something. It was insane how much. And they had a couple of legal people on the, you know, in the jury and an engineer and another guy that had a patent. So, you know, they kind of all did their own instructions within the jury room. Folks are saying it's surprising they came back so quickly, given that it was a complicated and very complicated verdict form. It looks like they were thoughtful about it and did their job, said Roy Futterman, director of DOAR, a litigation consulting and clinical physiologist who works on trial strategy in the midst of the mindset of jurors. One of the signs is that the verdicts were consistent. They held together. They voted one way in infringement, another way in invalidity. It all tells the same big story, he said. So, you know, that kind of goes against Samsung. But, I think if I was sitting on this jury, and of course we can all armchair quarterback this thing, I think I would want to really know the instructions that the judge had put forth to be able to understand what exactly I was voting on. If they didn't know the instructions and they just voted willy-nilly, It's pretty crazy. And they kind of came up with some arbitrary numbers on penalty amounts. Some of the things they said are really going to be opening the Pandora's box for the follow, you know, basically Samsung's defense on this or appeal. Now, here's what Apple has asked for. Apple has asked that, and again, I don't know which of these phones are currently on the market, but they've asked, this is over on The Verge, they've asked that the Galaxy S4G, Galaxy S2 AT&T, Galaxy S2 Skyrocket T-Mobile, the Galaxy S2 Epic 4G, the Galaxy S Showcase, the Droid Charge, and the Galaxy Prevail all be banned in the United States. And this is basically due to the jury having found that they were guilty of a variety of patent infringements, including D677, D305, utility patents 915, 381, 163, trade dress patents Q15 and Q16. So, you know, trade dress is all about curves and design and all that stuff. So this whole Samsung thing, I don't think the time is over. This story is going to go on for many, many years. But I had to laugh. Well, I didn't really laugh. I kind of did a moment because Andrew, one of our writers at Geek News Central, did a write-up that got a huge amount of traffic. I applaud him because we had a big traffic day over the weekend. His title is Apple, Samsung, and a Third Way for Patents. And I just want to share a little bit about what he said if you haven't read this, because this got a huge amount of traffic. It was wrote up on a couple of Mac sites, and we had a lot of folks drove in on this one here. They said, and Andrew says, when I heard the verdict on Apple versus Samsung, says, I was angry. Angry with Samsung for copying, angry with Apple for suing, angry with jurors for negativity, angry with the legal system for letting itself be a pawn. He said, over the weekend, I melted a little bit. I'm still concerned about the impact it will have on consumers. He says, Apple is not a great first inventor. It didn't invent the PC, the GUI, the digital music player, the smartphone, or the tablet. He said, I'll leave it as an exercise for the readers to educate themselves as to who did. Apple is a great design, marketing, timing, and extracting value from suppliers, partners, and customers. There's no doubt that they have the bank balance to prove it. He says, the word on the street was that Apple is looking for $30 license fee to cover the use of patents. As a consumer, I think that's a ripoff when compared to the overprice of the device. None of those patents are intrinsic to the device, and I would happily have had a phone or tablet that doesn't have those features. Multi-touch and pinch to zoom is overrated generally, and as for the bounce back, it's a waste of CPU cycles. He says, obviously, there are two possible outcomes from an Android perspective. Either the patents are circumvented and Android users get arguably less experience, or manufacturers stump up the license fees. He says, but there is a third way, and I think this is where there's some validity here to his thoughts. He says, wouldn't it be great if, as an Android consumer, one could choose whether to avail of certain patents or not? You could accept the Apple's licensing and pay the extras, or else decline and get the non-infringing version. How brilliant would that be? And it would let the market decide which patents are valuable and which aren't. And of course, he's right. Chances of that are slim to none from happening. Consumers don't get a choice. Companies want licensing fees. And that's what Apple's going to get in a big way. They're going to go to the table and demand probably more than what they would have gotten. What does that mean? That means your price of your devices are going to go up. And we're the big losers. Apple's the big winner. They will continue to rake in the cash. But this whole patent thing, you know, I think about it from my perspective. And we talked about this on Saturday Morning Tech. It scares the crap out of me, because if we do something, there's thousands, tens of thousands, of millions of patents out there. How do I know I'm infringing until I get a lawsuit filed against me? So personally, I think the whole patent thing's broke. I really do. Now, on the other hand, there's all kinds of stuff that's happened overseas with this particular story. You know, in South Korea on this past Wednesday, opened the door for Apple to sell its iPhone within its borders. So up until now, and I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but the Apple iPhone sales were illegal in South Korea, despite the fact that an overwhelming majority of its residents, 90% of a 48.6 million, subscribed to mobile phone services. Korean law had placed such severe restrictions on location-based applications such as Google Maps, used by Apple iPhone and Research in Motion, that they prevented those devices from being sold in the country, and they were given a special exemption to be sold there. So really what's happening here is, for the first time now, Samsung has competition with their own country on the iPhone front. And it's kind of the way it is in Japan in some instances, and China, because you can't legally get the iPhone in China yet. So we will see where this leads and how we'll see how Apple competes in China. And there was actually a lawsuit how they will compete in South Korea. And there was actually a ruling last week where South Korea ruled that a panel there ruled that Apple had infringed on Samsung and Samsung had infringed on Apple. So they actually slapped both of the companies within, you find that Samsung's has their own home plate advantage. But what I think it really boils down to is something that Robert Scoble said. Robert Scoble said, Samsung just spent $1 billion to become the number two mobile company in the world. He said that was cheap, $1 billion to become number two. And it may cost them more before the judge gets done. It may be a $3 billion charge, but they, without a doubt, they were partly responsible for killing RIM. If we really think BlackBerry has a chance to come back, I think we're all, I just don't think it's going to happen. So HTC, they're competing. The Windows Phone is competing. But let's be straight up. I'm sure a lot of you have a Samsung phone in your pocket. And they just got fined $1 billion to become number two. So obviously, I think what ended up happening was that the folks in South Korea just said, let's come to the crap table, let's roll the dice, and guess what they threw? First roll, they threw a 7. But in the meantime, they've already taken millions of dollars off the table. All right, you may not be into politics, but we know that after the Hurricane Isaac has passed by Tampa and actually headed towards New Orleans, as a matter of fact, if you're in that swath of area where that Category 2 hurricane's going, I'm batting down the hatches and stay safe. And we'll see you after the storm passes. It's hopefully it doesn't turn out to be a bad one. It looks like you're going to get a lot of rain. But the Republican National Convention is live this week. DNC will be next week. But the folks over at GigaOM put up a nice post on where to watch the convention live if you want to. As you know, that most of the major networks are only going to carry a couple of hours of the RNC's convention. But so they've got information there on where you can find it live streamed and where PBS and CBS and all these different schedules are at. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. And of course, the GOP will have something on their own website as well. But I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out again over at GigaOM. They have that on where you can watch it if you so choose to. One thing I noticed too is a number of people that have been just nasty on Twitter and putting, come on, you can talk politics without being so nasty, I think it just shows someone's lack of intelligence when they're saying nasty things like that. Hey, you guys know that I'm a big fan of app.net, and they're making progress over there and implementing cool stuff. There's a nice app been released, Hooyah, for app.net, released on Google Play. So definitely check this out. If you haven't got an account on app.net, you can join.app.net. But I'm pretty excited about this specific app. They're just trying to build a non-controlled semi-Twitter ecosystem. It's huge challenges ahead on that, but at least we're not being told what we can and can't do with the API. If you want to know who's sponsoring all those political ads that are up on your TV, there's an app for that. And Jen had put up a good article on Geek News Central about it, and have that link up in the show notes for you. It's called Ad Hoc, by the Sunlight Foundation. You just basically point your phone at your television and it tells you who actually paid for the ads. So you can see if it's a PAC or it's actually one of the actual political campaigns. Also, there's a good article on GNC, this last article that I referred to from GNC talking about Kickstarter. And boy, I tell you, just lately, there's been a lot of cool Kickstarter stuff going on we've been talking about during the show. So if you've been following the show notes, of course, all the show notes for Geek News Central is over at gncshownotes.com, gncshownotes.com. And we want you to get over there and see all the detailed links for all the stuff that we covered during the show. And we had some good Kickstarter ones on the last one. Hey, the folks at Hisense are working with Google, and they're coming out with a Google TV set-top box for under $99. So don't know a lot about Hisense. There's no pictures for this thing yet, but Engadget's reporting that they're basically going to come out with one. It's going to arrive in November, and again, it's going to be priced under $99. So it's going to support resolutions 480i to 1080p. It's going to have HDMI and USB Ethernet sockets. Also has Wi-Fi. So it's going to have come with a double-sided remote with a full QWERTY keyboard as well. So we'll see that come in November. I tell you guys, Google TV is working to be the king. And between them and Roku, they're doing a pretty good job. Meanwhile, Apple TV, we'll see if they make an announcement next week. Well, Google was required by the judge in the Oracle case to reveal who they had as paid bloggers and journalists. And Google basically came out and said, hey, we don't pay anyone. We don't give any special treatment. But there was one person in the list, was a Stanford professor by the name of Mark Lemley, who they listed as outside counsel. But other than that, I was actually surprised, and I was waiting for some real juicy stuff to come out on this, but I thought we were going to get a list of bloggers that were doing pay to play. But Google said, no, we don't pay anyone to write anything. And although Oracle had a relationship with a blogger by the name of Florian Mueller, who never disclosed, and neither does this guy that works at Stanford, professor never disclosed as well that he was outside counsel. But this is good. But Google did put together a list of people that have written about stuff in favor of them, but they said they never paid anybody, which is big. It's really big, and I'm actually surprised. I thought we were going to get some real juicy stuff with some sort of announcements. All right, those of you that are Amazon Prime members, more streaming video for Amazon Prime, you're going to get Friday Night Lights, Battlestar Galactica. And, of course, you were able to watch or basically download Battlestar Galactica for a long time. Of course, those are older series that are available, although they're good ones. But Prime Instant Video now offers 22,000 movies and TV episodes free to Prime members. And, of course, those of you that pay $79 a year for free two-day shipping and other perks. So as of April, Netflix only had 60,000 streaming titles. And but Amazon is picking up a bunch of titles that Netflix doesn't do. So, you know, you can play each system a little bit and get probably most of the stuff you want to watch. But, you know, I wish that free shipping to Honolulu, the two-day shipping to Honolulu for the cheaper price would be in effect here. It isn't, sadly. But that's pretty cool. They're making some advances with Prime. And they got a whole list of features available to you to be able to take advantage of. Over on Apple Insider, well, I was looking at this. They think that the new Apple phone or the Apple iPhone is going to have an NFC chip in it. And I've been waiting for NFC to come to the United States for just about as long as I can remember. I think we were talking about NFC on this show back in 2004 when I started the show. Let me take a shot of iced tea here. And so they're showing a sensor that's gone through FCC that they feel could be an NFC chip. And of course, near field communications is what they would use to be able to, you can pay for stuff, but just by waving your phone over a sensor and putting in a PIN number. But this is a rumor that this is available. And so we'll see if this is the deal. And I'm hoping that this is the real deal. I'm hoping we're going to get NFC and LTE with the iPhone 5. Only time will tell. Here in a few weeks, we'll get the word. But this could be big if that's the case. And I'm sure Apple will have some sort of an amazing announcement to make with it. Radio Shack, you know, we're still kind of holding on here, deciding what we're going to do. But we're going to buy no-contract phones. And apparently there's a new no-contract wireless rate that's coming out by Radio Shack. And this is pretty compelling for those of you that have got the ability to buy a phone that's not an iPhone. If you want to buy a smartphone of a different manufacturer, $60 a month, unlimited data, unlimited messaging. You're going to, I don't know what you're going to get for calls, voice, unlimited voice for US calls. You get voicemail, caller ID, three-way calling, call waiting, visual voicemail, all included for $60 a month. You're going to get after 2.5 gigs of data usage, you'll be throttled. So excuse me, I'm saying unlimited. This is pretty good. This is, and if you want to get additional full speed 3G after 2.5 gigs, you can pay $1.50 a meg. Is that what they show as a price, or is that right? No, $1 for 50 megs, which is still not very much, but you'll be throttled after using 2.5 gigs. Most of you will not use 2.5 gigs of data a month. But anyway, this is a new no contract, and it's through Cricket. And so we'll see where this leads, but another option for you as pay-as-you-go. Of course, Virgin has some of these plans, and a variety of other companies as well. All right, let me ask you a question here that's a little bit sensitive. And this is an article that was over on MarketWatch.com. They asked the question, who inherits your iTunes library when you die? Says, this is a something that's starting to come up now. And there's basically digital content licensing is essentially a big black legal, it says a legal black hole. And they're saying the law is light years away from catching up with the types of assets that have become the norm in the 21st century. You know, if you have a shelf full of books, it's very easy for people to come in and you can say, okay, Tommy, you get the top shelf, or, you know, you can will books, and family members can split those up, distribute them and resell them or donate them. And, you know, that happens a lot when you go into a loved one's house and have to basically clean it out. So according to Amazon and Apple, you do not acquire any ownership rights on digital content that you have. You're just licensing the use as far as a single user. So this ability to will that data to someone is in question. Now, I don't think anybody's going to be able to figure out if you want to share the hard drive with all the family members, I don't think anyone will know the difference. But it is a legal question starting to be asked because people are starting to acquire these huge digital libraries, which I find kind of interesting. All right, Craigslist. Have never used Craigslist to shop for an apartment, but they have started testing with maps. So they've quietly begun testing embedding maps on ads for housing in San Francisco and also in Portland, Oregon. Craigslist is using something called OpenStreetMap, and it's a website that offers free and reliable location data compiled by volunteers around the world. And so anyway, they're basically showing you on a map where a specific apartment may be available to rent, and its location on a map, which is kind of cool. So we'll probably see more of this as time goes on, and probably into more cities. Hey, the Saudi folks, the Saudi Aramco oil company has basically said they've been able to recover 30,000 of its workstations. The big attack that was supposed to happen over the weekend apparently did not happen, even though folks said it was going to. We talked about that a little bit on the show and said that we may see that attack, but apparently it never happened. But they have been able to clean up and recover the 30,000 workstations that were infected earlier this month. And they did make statements saying that there was nothing to worry about their oil program. Nothing was ever at risk because it was on a closed internet connection. Basically, none of this stuff was connected to the outside world, so no one was able to get in. So at least this time, they basically got lucky, for a better word. All right, Twitter's doing something additional now. You know, they just have become very annoying to me and all the little quirks and things that they're doing. So if you're using like Sesmic or a different site to post something to Twitter, they're removing that now. They're not allowing it to show how what app or which program you use to post. It's just the Twitter post. They've removed the via information off the tweet. I guess they're trying to not advertise for all these external apps. So again, Twitter is no longer displaying what client a tweet was posted with on the web, and is emphasizing on first-party apps. They don't want people, and they're trying to control what people are doing. So this is, again, changes to its API and interface and locking people out. Boy, there seems to be a big push, and we've seen a number of stories already this year talking about companies that are trying to get into the same-day delivery service. We know that Amazon is putting together their basically lockers and 7-Eleven, where a UPS or FedEx driver will come and drop the package there, and you'll go to the box and be able to get it. That way you won't miss someone when you're not at home or at work. But today, a London-based company called Shuttle, which aims to build a fast delivery service, has received $2 million from UPS as a cash infusion. They want UPS wants Shuttle to expand its offerings into the United States. So they're working with them via their UPS Strategic Enterprise Fund. And basically what they want is they want to be able to get your product to you. Shuttle does a 90-minute delivery window in major cities. So if you order something online, they will have the warehouse capability and also the delivery infrastructure to get it to you in 90 minutes. Now that is something to think about. So often, and obviously this probably will never happen in Hawaii, but it's usually 3, 4, 5 days before I see a product when I order it. And, oftentimes I'm tempted to go buy something here, locally, even though it costs a lot more, but, still I can usually get a better price even with shipping many times than I can locally on products. But 90 minutes to my door, that would be fantastic. All right, Best Buy. Best Buy is allowing founder Richard Schulze to conduct the due diligence and form an investment group to make an official bid for Best Buy. So Best Buy may be saved at this point. We'll see. But at least they're basically accepting his initial offer maybe to take back the company. Are you guys remember the two guys that were brothers that were part of Facebook that basically Zuckerberg threw to the curb and then Zuck had to end up paying them a bunch of money? Well, I can't even pronounce their name. I'm going to say the Winklevoss brothers or the twins had, they went out and spent a cool $18 million. Not that they didn't spend very much money on this house, $18 million to buy this swanky Los Angeles mansion. And their goal is to dive into the SoCal tech scene. I think I'd have took my money and got myself an apartment and, spent $500K and got me a nice apartment in L.A. and then took the 17.5 that I had left over and used that for investment in the tech scene. But these guys, I think, have a little bit more on the mind than doing getting the tech scene. This is the ultimate, first of all, it would be the ultimate house, but it would definitely be the ultimate bachelor pad. Looking at this place, I don't think they're going to have any problems enjoying this house and having plenty of a house guest over per se. But I'll have a link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. All right, switching gears here a little bit. Let's talk about wireline. Yeah, these are those telephones that were connected to the wall. Not not for charging, but actually had a copper wire running into them. With mobile phones on the rise and broadband basically offering triple pay, fewer people are needing a landline these days, and people are cutting the cord all the time, at least the telephone cable company cord. So here's where we're at. In 2003, there was about 100 million landlines in the United States. In 2012, we're down to like 45 million. So just about half, a little under half that's left. So, the trends are going down. While at the same time, the internet companies, the cable providers, their revenues are going up and the number of subscribers they have by using triple play. So there's a lot of concern what's going to happen to all this wired infrastructure, and if the phone companies are going to be able to revitalize it and make it into a new viable product. I know there's a lot of old wire in the ground. Where my mom lives, she doesn't have sometimes there's not a good cell connection, so she still has a wired telephone, and it seems like they're out there every 2 or 3 weeks fixing it because this cable infrastructure is getting so deteriorated, at least in her area. It's becoming an issue. So she's like ready to chop the cord as soon as she can get a little better cell signal to have more reliability. But many of you have already cut the cord and probably have houses that are wired but don't have any service. And it's understandable. It's an extra $30 you don't have to spend a month. And because the wireline companies, the telcos, never were able to make the switch from DSL. Matter of fact, we've got a DSL modem right back there that we use for people coming in on the Skype system. But it's barely got enough bandwidth to do what I want it to do. So, we're at a point now where we have to decide, are we going to make another changeover on bringing in some different an additional bandwidth line here? And it's all about keeping ahead of the curve and making sure we're able to have the best experience for every show that we do. And, the cable company can't, or the local telco can't provide me what I want without trying to sell me some bundle. And I said, hey, just give me your new, wireline service that you have with higher speed. I don't want the other stuff. And they won't sell it that way. So they're trying to keep their foot in the door by offering higher speeds, but you have to do a bundle, and I'm not willing to do it. So some instances, like here, they're trying to compete, but it's kind of wacky in what they're doing. Now, this next one is going to make all of you go, just a little bit. Tonight, I'm drinking iced tea. So, no lemon or nothing, just straight up hardcore iced tea. But there's been a study done. And I don't know what to really make of this. I was looking to see if this was a paid study, so that if it's got some quote-unquote spin to it. But over in sciencedaily.com, consuming energy drinks can exert acute positive benefits on myocardial performance, according to research presented August 27th at the ESC Congress by Dr. Matteo Camilla from the University of Siena. I have no idea where the heck that's at. He's basically saying that for 35 healthy subjects, means their mean age was 25 years old, each drank an indexed amount of an energy drink. And I think they were actually quoting a couple of particular energy drinks. They said that the heart rate, blood pressure, and left ventricle function and right ventricle function were undertaken as a baseline 1 hour after the consumption. And they found that they had better function improvement by drinking an energy drink. Now, I think all of us would almost say those energy drinks will kill you, right? They can't be good for you. And I'll be honest, I'm a 2 Red Bull a guy a week Red Bull drinker. So they say that energy drinks and fractions of both left and right heart ventricles, thereby delivering a positive effect on the myocardial functions. They did this on young, healthy individuals at rest, not old guys like me. So I don't know. I can't imagine that this is right. But if this doctor is legitimate And he didn't get paid a bunch of money by the energy drink people to do this study. It makes you go, doesn't it? Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You guys can do it. And Andy Brown, if you're listening, I want you as the doctor in the house, the show doctor, to go and review this and tell me if this guy's like drinking funny juice or something. Okay, moving on. Another article over on Gizmodo, actually talking about something Google did. Google has put together a cool map for Isaac. So if you're in the eye of the storm here, if you're in Louisiana, if you're in Jackson, Mississippi, in those areas, Shreveport, so forth, they've got a pretty good map of where this thing's going. And you guys probably already know. You probably don't need a special map from Google to see that. Hey, you remember we talked about this a couple of months ago. Remember this guy from Vermont who crushed cop cars with a tractor? Well, apparently, when he drove over those 7 cop cars on August 2nd, he became an instant internet, he was all over the internet, got huge numbers of hits. Well, apparently, he's still in jail. hasn't made bail, and he's still in jail. So that was an update from the polyzeros.com website. So I kind of got to chuckle all that. You smash 7 cop cars, you're probably going to go away for 20 years if the cops can have anything to do with it. Researchers are saying, moving to a new topic here, researchers are saying that there's a massive onslaught of fake torrents out there. So if you're using peer-to-peer sites, there's just a huge percentage, more than 50% of the torrents that are out there are fake, and they have payloads in them that are not good. All kinds of stuff is being sent. Malicious software is being embedded in popular movie titles and so forth. So they're working to come up with a way to kill these things. But the researchers estimate in a year, millions of people will be downloading these fake files. And they found out that people in the U.S., China, and Brazil fall for these scams more than the average downloader. BitTorrent users from Spain, India, and Great Britain, on the other hand, were the best at avoiding them. In the United States, over 12% of the people downloading peer-to-peer stuff was downloading fake stuff. So that's not a good number as compared to Great Britain, that had just over 4.6% were downloading this fake. So be careful what you're downloading out there on the peer-to-peer sites. And they're trying to come up with some software that's going to start whack-a-moling this stuff as it goes. A good article over on the EFF today. The EFF basically is pointing to a New York Times article reminding us that the government still is warrantlessly wiretapping Americans and that Congress has the power to stop it. So the New York Times published 2 op-eds highlighting how government agencies have retained expansive powers to warrantlessly wiretap Americans after Congress passed the FISA amendments in 2008. And then, unlike in 2005, when the exposure of these warrantless wiretapping program provoked widespread outrage, Congress is now all but ignoring ample evidence of wrongdoing. So, of course, a lot of this was implemented because of 911. But they pushed a couple of pretty good articles out. I have the link up in the show notes for you to review, okay? Now, I'm approaching an age where you start looking at your age and you're starting to wake up a little bit in the morning, not getting out of bed as quickly. You start gaining aches and pains that you didn't know you had before. And, it's just one of those things of getting a little older. And it sucks, quite frankly. And but scientists say that immortality could be just about 20 years away. Now, I'm kind of doubtful that they're going to be able to accomplish this, but many scientists believe that around 20 years we'll have the means to reprogram our bodies and have be able to really reprogram it in reverse aging. He says scientists are saying nanotechnology will let us live forever. Ultimately, nanobots will replace blood cells and do the work 1,000 times more effectively. The question is, will we be able to handle that with our brains. They're also saying that some of the most popular activities will be able to be done virtually. And plugging in may not be so far off. We're actually connected. And he says that computer technology and the understanding of our genes and our body's software programs are accelerating at an incredible rate. Suggests that there might be another billion-fold increase in technology over the next quarter century. And, of course, I think they're going to be growing us new parts soon, too. So you need a new liver, need a new kidney, need a new heart. They'll just order one up on the internet and, you know, you go in for the procedure a few weeks later after they've grown you one. So we could be heading to that road, which I wouldn't be surprised. But how are we going to feed everybody? That's my question. Hey, if you want to broadcast your iPhone or iPad screen live on the internet, I've got a link up to an article that has quite a few suggestions on how to do that. It is possible. It's very easy with some cool apps out there. So I have that link up in the show notes. All right, over on the museumofhoaxes.com, I just love this kind of stuff. You know, a city has been waiting 100 years to open a package. So for 100 years, a package marked maybe opened in 2012 has been sitting in a museum in Odda, Norway. It was given to the town Odda by a local resident back in 1912. And there'd been lots of speculation about what the package might contain. Money, diary, stock certificates. Well, last Friday, the 100-year mark arrived, and the town gathered to open the package. There was a live video feed so the entire world could share in the excitement. The mayor carefully opened the package, peeked inside, and it turned out to contain, well, a notebook, newspaper, community council papers, a letter, a small drawing, and other bits of paper, and really nothing of value. And so, you know, the guy that did this probably went to his grave smiling, knowing that he had set people up to open a package in 2012 that contained nothing but a bunch of crap. we'll have to do our own time capsule. Jeez. All right, I've got to show you this picture. I don't know if it's digitally enhanced, how they did it, if it's the real deal, but this picture that is from Mars is extraordinary. I sat and looked at this for about 10 minutes. This is probably the most extraordinary pictures I have seen. And if this is the real deal, oh my, we have an amazing machine sitting on Mars, sending back incredible, incredible pictures. And I cannot wait for more stuff like this. Those of you that are not watching the live video, those of you that are listening, this is a CNET piece. I'm sure this is over on the Mars website. But this is just truly remarkable image. And I'll have a link up in the show notes. I haven't been paying attention for a couple of days and missed this, but it's big. Because, you know, there was some other stuff that was up where Curiosity sent another image that was just black and white. It was kind of blasé. It really, you know, it didn't inspire me at all. And I was like, where did this other one come from? You know, and I'm still a little bit brain rattled on this picture from CNET. So link will be up in the show notes, and hopefully it's a real deal. If it is, it's just an incredible picture. All right, the MPAA is joined at RIAA in having budget issues. Well, it's nice to see the MPAA is having some challenges. In just the last 3 years, the revenue generated by the anti-piracy outfit reduced from $92.8 million to $49.6 million. Their membership dues dropped from 84.7 to 41.5, more than a 50% decline. And they got this from their 2010 tax form that had to be filed as a, I guess they're a nonprofit or something. That's how they could get access to this. But anyway, MPAA having some financial troubles. And, you know, they still have millions, but at least they're being impacted by their behavior. All right, Hotel Lock Company wants hotels to pay for fixing their hackable product. Do you know at Black Hat Security Conference that Cody Bakoris revealed how to hack this specific company's locks? And these locks are in more than 4 million hotel rooms worldwide, and he was able to hack it with a $50 worth of equipment. Well, the company's come up with a couple of fixes, but they're asking all the hotels to pay for this fix for their hack. So it makes you go, how many hotels will actually do that? All it takes is about, some people breaking into rooms and stealing stuff, and hotels will be very quick to pay up and get these mods to these locks. Remember the Internet Tax Freedom Act? With the whole point was to be able to prevent the government from ever taxing the Internet. Well, with the proposal from the FCC and backed by companies like Google, AT&T, and Sprint, would you be willing to pay a buck or two for fast access? Now, remember how on your phone bills for years you paid a fee on your phone bill to make sure that people in rural communities could get telephone service? Same type of deal. They want to have a broadband tax, and so this could cause an increase to your bill. This is being proposed. So we'll see, but I think you'll pay a buck or two so other people could have fast access, maybe not necessarily you, but I might be willing to do it if they actually spent it right. All right, Reacher studied classical conditioning. You know what that is? Conditioning is basically studying while you're sleeping and physically actually having stuff like played to you. And you know, some people say that's a great way to learn and study for a final exam. But apparently there was a test being done where 55 study participants were basically subjected to an association between a tone and a scent. So they would play a tone, spray a scent. And that translated when folks were awake. So it does show you that our ears are listening even while we're sleeping, and we're getting some subliminal training. So it's good. Be careful what's being fed into that earball while you're sleeping. You don't want to listen to one of, basically have one of those channels up that's trying to sell you something, because you may be inclined to want to buy it the next day. But maybe that's why those shows all run those ads that buy all that crazy stuff in the middle of the night. They run those at 2 o'clock in the morning, knowing that people are asleep, and subliminally they're sending a message, buy the mop, buy the cleaner, buy the soap. And they wake up and say, I need to buy one of those mops. Well, talk about the ultimate punishment for stealing something. A man was infected after stealing a phone from an Ebola patient. In Uganda, a phone thief basically went in to steal a phone from a patient. The patient had Ebola. So guess what the thief has now? Ebola. Probably not a smart idea to steal a phone out of a hospital from someone that's contagious. Hey, there's a good review on ours talking about the Verizon Jetpack LTE mobile hotspot. And I've been looking at, basically, I've got a Sprint card. It's giving me some trouble. So I've been basically looking at some options, and I just saw this today, so I thought I'd share with you. If you're looking for like a MiFi type device, this might be a consideration for you. Again, it's a Hotspot 890L, and it's an LTE device. I don't know if it reverts to 3G. Oh, it does. It reverts to 3G if you get to a certain power level, but I have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Another article over on ours, if those of you have Dropbox, they've enabled two-factor verification and experimental build. You can get that. I have a link in the show notes on how to get access to that. And our final article for tonight before we get into the email, there's a pretty cool smash mute. You ever been, sometimes the kids are playing something too loud on the TV and I just want to shut the thing off. Well, they've got a little device that basically enables the TV mute just by hitting this thing. It's kind of like an easy button, but instead it mutes the TV. This is fantastic. I don't know how much this thing costs. I want one. And it will mute the TV in an instant. I think this thing's fantastic. Gotta have me one. Okay, let's go ahead and get into, let me check the emails here, see what I've got. Where are we at for time? Oh, we're not, we're doing a little long as compared to how I normally am. But, all right, got an email here from Tim. He said, hey, Todd, I found this site while searching for a 3D model creator for images and was rather impressed. First, it's free. Second, it's all done online, so there's no download. Finally, it seems to get the job done. Maybe you may have used, have a use for it as I did enjoy. And it's a hyper3d.com, H-Y-P-R-3D.com. Tim, thanks for that. Of course, Tim has a podcast. It's the DisneylandNewsToday.com podcast. So definitely check out DisneylandNewsToday.com. Tim's a longtime listener here at the show and also a podcaster. Got an email here from Richard. He says, hey, Todd, no AT&T and their FaceTime. He says, no attempt to collect more money that hasn't, no AT&T and their FaceTime. Attempt to collect more money hasn't bothered me at all. I got rid of those idiots 2 years ago. I unlocked my iPhone and went with T-Mobile and Net10 and haven't looked back. The prepaid sector is much better than the postpaid services. I'm currently using Net10 in my current location as T-Mobile doesn't work in Southern Ohio. But the unlimited service that these prepaid companies offer is more suited to my needs. You know, after figuring everything up money-wise, I'll be saving about $3,000 over the cycle of a normal 2-year contract. If you'd like to know more about how to do this and you have a CDMA phone, Verizon Sprint, then here's the article you need to get started. And he links it up to me. I'll have that in the show notes. He also had forwarded me the article on the MPAA budget. So thanks for that, Richard. And he also sent me the link. Oh, we talked about this on the last show, Smart Things, the Smart Things Kickstarter. So we already got that one covered. And let me look at the date on his email. So that 23rd was the last show. Oh, I got a few more here. Got an email from Max. He says, hey, Todd, I don't recall if I sent this already, but if I'm not too late, love the show. Start up the support soon. We'll start up the support soon when I can financially. Hey, Max, thanks for that. I appreciate it. I know that everyone's not going to be in a position to contribute a couple of bucks a month. And, you know, obviously take care of your family and personal needs first, you know, and if you've got a few extra bucks, that's great. But we want those of you that are, you know, are financially strapped, don't send me the money. You take care of yourself. But if you do have, you know, when you get in a position where you do have a few bucks, we'd be more than happy to have you on as an insider, completely understand. And that's it. That's the last email tonight. And of course, Max will put you in for the drawings as well. Don't worry. All right. Hey, that's it. Everyone, thanks for being here. As always, if you have comments on tonight's show, it's real easy to reach out to me here at Geek News Central. You come over and email or Twitter at me at Geek News. The email address is geeknews@gmail.com. Our voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't forget our sponsor, Citrix GoToMeeting. Definitely try that. Get that free 30-day trial. Don't forget to use that promo code podcast. And, of course, visit our website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and check out all the great deals we got. Get 20% off on your orders this month by using our great promo code that we have. So we want to thank both GoDaddy and Citrix GoToMeeting for being an ongoing sponsor here. And we want to thank everyone that's tuned into the show live tonight. I know it's late in many locations across the United States and maybe early morning throughout the world. But thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you next time. Take care. And aloha.